check the news. You scan the updates with dull acceptance. Tomatoes and tomato-based products are rationed again as the drought deepens in southern Europe. The government urges people to embrace alternative flavours, while restaurant chains quietly remove marinara from their menus. The rolling blackouts have been reduced from 4 hours to 3, a temporary concession, they say, before the next phase of energy stabilisation begins. The incident at the protest last night remains under review. The footage shows police kettling civilians, rubber bullets cracking against pavement. Officials urge the public not to jump to conclusions. A new public safety campaign warns against discussing economic conditions in a defeatist way. The phrase, "things used to be better," has been flagged as a potential marker for extremist sentiment. And you just keep on scrolling. Because what else is there to do? Decline doesn't announce itself. There is no breaking point, no moment where everyone collectively realizes that the world is broken. It just shifts, a little at a time. And by the time you notice, you've already learned to live with it. You weren't crushed, you weren't silenced, you were trained. This is how decline happens, not as a single event, not as one dramatic moment that forces you to see it for what it is. It happens quietly, a slow, grinding process of shifting expectations, a long, careful erosion of what you believe is normal until one day you look up and you realise you've been standing in the rubble for years. It's called normalcy bias, the tendency to believe that tomorrow will look like today, that things will mostly continue as they always have, even in the face of overwhelming evidence to the contrary. It's what makes people stay in their homes as a wildfire approaches. It's what makes citizens of collapsing empires believe that the system will, somehow, correct itself. It's what keeps people scrolling through their feeds instead of fighting for something better. And that's the trick, isn't it? Collapse never feels like collapse while you're living through it. There's no alarm bell, no announcement, just a long, slow process of getting used to things that should be unthinkable. The moment you start to believe that exhaustion is normal, that corruption is inevitable, that cruelty is just how the world works, that's when they've won. Because the system doesn't need to crush you. It just needs to make sure that you never turn your energy towards something that actually matters. We like to think that social media connects us, that it's a tool for change, a way to stay informed, a digital town square where voices rise up and demand something better. But it's not. It's a machine, and that machine doesn't care what you believe, only that you believe it loudly. The more we fight, the more money we make, the more we argue, the more the system learns how to keep us at each other's throats. The goal isn't to inform, it's to enrage. And the worst part? We think we're making choices. We think we're shaping the conversation, when in reality the conversation has already been shaped for us. Every click, every interaction, every fight in the comments is all part of a system that feeds on division, thrives on outrage, and profits from keeping us exhausted. It's not new. The Romans did it with bread and circuses, feeding people free grain, throwing them grand spectacles, keeping them too distracted to realise that the empire was rotting from the inside out. And now? Now the circus is digital. The bread is content. The gladiator fights happen in the comments section. And while we're all busy tearing each other apart over the latest viral outrage, the real decisions, the policies, the economic shifts, the dismantling of rights are happening in rooms we will never be invited into. The system doesn't need to suppress your voice. It just needs to make sure that you never stop yelling long enough to realise you're screaming in the wrong direction. There was a time when the press was a firewall between the people in power. Now, it's another product, another arm of the machine. The news still comes at us fast, headlines flying, breaking stories dropping by the hour. But beneath the surface, something fundamental has changed. Investigative teams have been gutted. Corporate ownership has consolidated the narrative. Reporters don't challenge power anymore. They copy-paste press releases. Once, the biggest scandals in the world were uncovered by journalists who risked everything to tell the truth. Watergate, the Pentagon Papers, stories that shook nations. But now, what passes for news is often just a repackaged press release from the people who benefit from keeping us in the dark. It didn't happen overnight. At first, it was a slow erosion. Budget cuts, layoffs, the gradual shift from deep reporting to fast clickable content. Then came the billionaire takeovers, the prioritisation of profits over truth. And now, we live in a world where media outlets are owned by the same interests they were meant to hold accountable, where stories that should shake us to our core get buried under algorithm-driven distractions, where real investigative journalism still exists, but it's drowning under the weight of celebrity gossip, political theatre, the latest controversy that's designed to keep us engaged but powerless. A well-informed public is dangerous. If people actually understood how power operated, if they knew the full scale of corruption, inequality, and systemic rot, they might stop fighting each other and start fighting back. And the system cannot have that. The final blow is the simplest one. We no longer live in a shared reality. Two people can live in the same city, work in the same building, sit at the same dinner table, and exist in completely different versions of the world. One believes the economy is booming, the other believes it's collapsing. One believes their government is protecting them, the other believes it's destroying them. Neither of them is entirely wrong. Neither of them is entirely right. Because the truth is, truth itself has become a commodity, splintered and customized by algorithms that don't care about accuracy, only engagement. Every dictatorship in history has relied on controlling the narrative. Make people unsure what's real and they'll stop fighting entirely. But today, you don't need a dictatorship to achieve that. The algorithm does it for you. We can't even agree on what the problem is. We will never agree on how to fix it. And that is the final perfect mechanism of control. Not suppression, not censorship, but confusion. So what now? If distraction, division, and misinformation are the weapons, what's the counterattack? It starts with clarity. With stepping outside the algorithm, outside the rage loops, outside the constant noise. It starts with recognizing that exhaustion is not an accident, it's a tactic. It means seeking out information that challenges us, talking to people we wouldn't normally engage with, learning to recognize when we are being manipulated into fighting battles that benefit no one but those in power. But most of all, it means remembering that we are not powerless. Because here's the truth. They need us tired. They need us distracted. They need us too divided to demand better. Because the moment we stop fighting each other, the moment we stop falling for the distractions, the moment we start believing that things can change, that's when everything changes. And that is what they fear the most.